Picture, for a moment, a baker's pantry. It is the small back room of an old neighborhood bakery, with shelves running from floor to ceiling, and along those shelves, lined up in careful order, a long row of glass jars. The jars are sealed with their lids, and each one has a paper label tied around the neck with a piece of twine. The handwriting on the labels is a little uneven, the way handwriting gets after many years, but it is clear and easy to read. Flour, sugar, salt, baking soda, yeast, cocoa, cinnamon, cardamom, powdered milk. Each jar has its own label, its own contents, its own purpose. If you walked into that pantry and you opened any two of those jars at random, you would notice something curious. Many of them look almost identical. The flour jar and the powdered milk jar, side by side on the counter, both look like fine white powder. The sugar jar and the salt jar look so similar that, if you were in a hurry, you might confuse them, scoop a tablespoon of the wrong one into your batter, and ruin the cake. A jar of cocoa looks exactly like a jar of finely ground coffee, until you taste them. The labels exist not to tell the jars apart by sight, but to remind you of something the eye cannot see. The contents have completely different roles in a recipe, even when they look alike. Sugar makes a thing sweet. Salt makes a thing savory. They are made of different stuff. They behave in different ways when you cook with them. They are not interchangeable. This is what we mean in programming when we talk about kinds. The values that a program holds, the things in those labeled boxes we met last time, are not all the same kind of thing. Some are numbers. Some are words. Some are simple yes or no answers. Each kind behaves differently. Each one has its own rules. And the language, when it is doing its job, refuses to confuse them. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I'm your host. This is episode 9, Kind of Things. Today, we're going to look at the basic kinds of things that a program can hold. Numbers of a few different flavors. Text, the words and sentences a program needs to display. The simple true and false that lets a program make decisions. We are also going to talk about why the computer cares so much about kinds in the first place, and why Rust cares about them even more than most languages, and what that strictness gets you in exchange for a little extra work up front. By the end of the episode, you'll be able to read a Rust variable that has a kind attached to it, and you will know what is happening and why. Let me start with the question of why kinds matter at all. Last time, we put a number into a box. We wrote the keyword let, the name butter, and equals sign 200, a semicolon. The number 200 sat in the box. Any time in the rest of the program, the word butter would mean 200. But there is a question we did not ask. What kind of 200? Because there are at least a few different kinds of 200 that the computer could be asked to remember. There is the whole number 200, the kind a child counts with. There is the decimal number 200.0, which a computer represents in a slightly different way, because it has to keep room for fractions. There is the text that reads, in quotation marks, 200, which is a sequence of characters, three of them, the 2, the 0, and another 0. To you and me, looking at it from the outside, all of these are 200. To the computer, there are completely different kinds of values, sitting in slightly different shaped boxes, behaving in completely different ways when you ask it to do things with them. This is the central reason kinds, or as programmers call them, types, exist in the first place. The computer, doing its work down at the level of those tiny storage locations we talked about a few episodes ago, has to know exactly what is in each location to manipulate it correctly. If you want to add two numbers together, the computer has one set of instructions for whole numbers and a different set for decimals. If you want to glue two pieces of text together, the computer has a completely different procedure. The language sitting on top of the computer, like Rust, has to give the computer enough information to know which set of instructions to use, and the way it does that is by attaching a type to every value. Different languages handle this with different degrees of strictness. In some languages, like Python, you can sort of mix the kinds up freely, and the language will try to figure out what you meant, and sometimes it will guess wrong and produce mysterious results. In other languages, like Rust, the rules are strict. Every value has exactly one type. The type is decided when the value is created, and the compiler enforces those rules carefully, refusing to compile any code where the types do not line up correctly. Let me show you what a typed variable looks like in Rust. Last time we wrote, the keyword let the name butter and equals sign 200 semicolon. In that line, we did not say what kind of 200 we meant. Rust looked at the value, 200, and figured out that it was a whole number, and assigned it a type called i32, which is the most common kind of whole number in Rust. The I stands for integer, which is the technical word for whole number, and the 32 refers to the size of the box the computer reserves for that integer in a small unit called bits. You do not need to know what bits are right now. You just need to know that i32 is the default whole number type in Rust, and Rust assumed it when you did not say. If you wanted to be explicit about it, and most production code is, you would write a slightly longer line. You would write the keyword let the name butter, then a colon, then i32, then an equals sign, then 200, then a semicolon. The colon and the type after it are how you tell Rust explicitly what kind of value you're putting into the box. This is called a type annotation, and Rust gives it to you as a feature, not a requirement, but most experienced Rust programmers use it on important variables because it makes the program much easier to read later. A reader can glance at any variable and immediately see what kind of thing it holds. Beyond i32, the language gives you a small handful of other basic types. There is F64, which is the standard kind of decimal number, the kind with a fractional part. There is bool, with two letters, short for Boolean, which holds the simple true or false answer to a yes or no question. There is char, with four letters, short for character, which holds exactly one letter or symbol. There is the string type, written with capital S, which holds a sequence of characters, a piece of text of any length, like a sentence or a paragraph. There are a few more, but those five are the ones you will see in almost every Rust program, and they cover most of the work an everyday program needs to do. Now, here is where Rust strictness comes back into play, and it is worth pausing on because it is one of the most distinctive things about working with this language. In Rust, once a variable has a type, it cannot suddenly become a different type. If you said butter is an i32, butter stays an i32 for the entire life of the variable. You cannot, halfway through the program, decide that you want butter to hold the text 200 written out in quotes instead of the number. The compiler will stop you. It will say, no, you told me earlier that butter was a whole number. Text is not a whole number. If you want to do that, you will have to create a new variable, and you will have to convert the number into text deliberately with an explicit step. I will not do it for you, quietly, behind your back, because if I did, your program would have all kinds of strange behavior in places you cannot predict. This rule, that types are strict and decided at compile time, is the second of Rust's quiet superpowers. The first one was immutability by default, which we met last episode. The second is what people call strong static typing. Together, they make it nearly impossible to write a Rust program that contains the kinds of bugs you might recognize from other languages, where a number accidentally got turned into a piece of text, or yes or no answer accidentally got mixed up with a calculation, and the program produced wrong results that nobody noticed until production. For you, as the orchestrator working with an artificial intelligence agent, this matters in a very direct way. When the agent writes a function and hands it to you for review, the types tell you, at a glance, what the function expects and what it produces. The agent cannot quietly pass the wrong kind of value into a function. The compiler would catch that immediately. Even if the agent is confused about what something is supposed to be, the type system will narrow the search down to a very specific kind of mistake, which makes the agent's errors much easier to catch and to correct. Out in the real world of production software, this strictness is a serious advantage. At the company that makes the database called TKV, written entirely in Rust, The rules around types catch entire categories of bugs at compile time that, in their previous database written in another language, would have caused mysterious wrong query results at 3 in the morning. At Hugging Face, the tokenizer library, which turns text into numbers a model can read, is written in Rust precisely because the data being passed around has to be exactly the right shape and the right type every single time, and the language refuses to compile if it is not. At the company called Astral, which makes the developer tools called Ruff and UV that we have mentioned before, the entire codebase leans heavily on Rust type system to make refactors safe, because if you change the shape of a piece of data, every place in the program that uses it has to be updated, and the compiler will not let you forget any of them. You will hear, occasionally, complaints from programmers new to Rust that the language is too strict, that it asks too many questions, that it makes them spell out things that other languages would have just figured out. That complaint is real. The first few weeks of learning Rust, the strictness can feel like an obstacle. But it is the same complaint that a new cook has about being made to label every jar in the pantry. Once the labels are there, and the cook is used to checking them, dinner stops getting ruined by a tablespoon of salt where the sugar should have been. The kitchen runs more smoothly. The cake comes out right. There's one more thing worth saying about types before we close, because it shows up over and over in working Rust code, and it is a kind of small gift the language gives back to you in exchange for the strictness it asks of you. Rust is one of the smartest languages in the world about figuring out the type of a value when it can. If you write the keyword let the name x an equals sign, the value 42, a semicolon, Rust will look at the right-hand side, see that 42 is a whole number, and assign x the type i32 without you ever needing to say so. This is called type inference, and it is one of the reasons day-to-day Rust code is much less cluttered than people sometimes assume from the outside. The strictness is real, but most of the time, the strictness is being enforced silently by the compiler in the background with very little extra typing from you. You write the value. Rust figures out the type. The strictness shows up only in the moments where it actually matters, where two types do not line up, and where, if Rust had not stopped you, you would have shipped a bug to production. That trade, brief friction at compile time in exchange for a class of bugs that simply cannot happen at runtime, is the trade Rust is asking you to make. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that values in any program come in different kinds, called types, and those types decide how the computer is allowed to use the value. The second is that in Rust, every variable has exactly one type, decided when it is created, and you can write the type explicitly after the name with a colon, like the name butter, colon, i32, equals 200, semicolon. The third is that Rust enforces those types strictly at compile time, which closes off an entire family of bugs other languages let through, and which is one of the reasons production code bases at companies like Hugging Face, Astral, and the database called TKV Pick Rust for Work, where the wrong type in the wrong place would be unacceptable. Next time on Rust, gently, we will look at what you can do with these values once you have them. Adding numbers, comparing them, gluing pieces of text together. We will meet the simple verbs of a language, the small symbols that let a program actually compute something instead of just holding on to things. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.